everybody. Welcome to another great edition of Talking Tigs, the Father's Day edition. I'm Scott Girard. Joining me, as always, Tommy Johnson, Daniel Zollinger. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there listening. We've got some baseball updates as well as just some other, you know, sporting news that's been going on, college baseball, LSU, and otherwise. But, you know, before we get into all that, I want to check in with the co-host, see how y'all are doing. Hopefully everyone said, you know, their respective happy Father's Days to their fathers. I had a great Father's Day. Got to put that out there. Lana made me some great stuff. I shared a picture with you. She made me a nice little homemade LSU, like a little canvas piece, which was lovely. Someone got me some nice Woodford Reserve. Ooh. Thank you. You know who you are. Yes. But yeah, hopefully you guys had a good day regardless.
Yeah. Yeah. Good to be with you. Good to be talking about LSU and, yeah, happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
Right. Happy Father's Day to you, Scott. The only dad on this pod, I think, but, yeah, getting into the dog days of summer now. We're in the off season. So on this kind of biweekly schedule, but to let the news accumulate, but, yeah, I got a nice little wrap up, I think, coming up here, especially on the baseball front.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's still news going on. I mean, the College World Series still going, looks like a pretty good series so far. I mean, they had, the first three games were three straight walk-offs, which was great. And then of course, A&M in Florida had to muck that up with just a boring kind of 3-2 game. Little weird stuff at the end. Well, I can get into that, but either way, so far a good World Series nonetheless. Shot record is well safe, I got to say, because I don't think anyone's cracked 10,000 already, and I think that would have been the case already. But nonetheless, you know, for SEC teams, for ACC teams, duking it out. But yeah, LSU, as we kind of talked about last week, you know, Jay Johnson's got some time on his hands now and he's not wasting any of it. He's had some really good portal activity. You know, the portal giveth and she taketh away. So it's not like LSU hasn't lost anybody, because we have, but you know, I think there's probably reason behind all of that, right? Whether it's a pitcher or a field player, but I guess that's what we're going to talk about. I'd say so far, you know, whoever we lost, it wasn't like devastating. It's not like Stephen Milam's just like, you know what, peace, I'm out. I mean, I don't think we knew that was going to happen, but you know, it does kind of hurt to lose Paxton Kling, because the guy's like, he's our, I don't know, he's good. He's fast. He's good defensively. The hitting has been okay, but he's a speedster. You know, he's our pinch runner go-to, among other things. But, you know, he's been there for, you know, years now. So it's, and then of course there's Aaron Moffitt, who's, you know, gosh, his dad's been in the program forever. There's, you know, some young upstarts who we thought were going to have a torch passed to them, I guess, maybe like Micah Bucknum or somebody, but I don't know. What do you guys say? I mean, it's par for the course, right? You give some, you lose some. We can talk about who's coming in, but I don't feel like there's really any devastating news of anybody leaving LSU.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I think for me, the number one loss so far in the portal is Cam Johnson. I mean, he throws like 99 from the left side. That's hard to replace even with Jay Johnson's, you know, great, success he's had in the portal so far. But, I think I'm honestly not surprised. I think that, and I think this is a lot of cleaning house of, you know, this season ended a lot better than we thought it was going to, but it wasn't really, I think the follow-up to the national championship year that anybody in LSU world wanted. And so I think Jay Johnson, similar to what he did after his first year, you know, he went deep into the portal, he got rid of a lot of the players who just didn't really fit the system he was trying to build, went and got some of the stars that we talk about, like Skeens, like Paul, like Tommy Tanks, and others. You know, we picked up Thatcher Hurd, Riley Cooper, you know, people like that. Yeah. What was the other guy? Jacob Berry. And I think it's just more of the same from Johnson in a good way.
Right. There's always going to be some churn in a roster like this year over year. It's very rare these days where everybody sticks around and comes back. So, you know, there's going to be some sort of attrition. And Jay Johnson, yeah, went straight to work after the regional. And some people say that's almost an advantage to us that we're out of the tournament. And now he's getting to work, calling up these guys from other schools who are finished and seeing who's available. Meanwhile, a lot of our SEC competition is still in the World Series. I would like to be there with them, but it seems to have paid dividends so far. As I'm not sure exactly what the count is, but like six, I think, total commitments in. All seem pretty good from what I understand. I don't know if we want to just go down the list here of everybody.
Sure. I mean, just to clear who's left, I guess we should go over that, you know, that first, because that'll kind of tell us kind of what we're trying to replace. I mean, Paxton Kling, outfielder, gone, obviously. But obviously, no surprise. I mean, what we had, Josh Pearson, you got Jake Brown, freshman. You got Anand Larson, freshman, both great. Got more playing time than Kling. So you got to imagine one of those guys is going to be in center field. And I don't know, maybe that's our outfield next year altogether. Who knows? Then you got Sam Dutton, who actually did play in one of our last regional games. Right-handed pitcher. He had some good exposure, but just, I don't know. I guess that last one, man, it was what? He like got three straight singles against him in the SEC tournament, and that was kind of it. Aiden Moffitt, as we said, Micah Bucknum, Cam Johnson, gone. Nick Brazzini, Zeb Riddell, and Derek Mitchell. Oh, wait, one more. Sorry, Austin Rowling. So that's quite a few. But as we said, we got some coming in. If you guys want to... Yeah.
Y'all, I'll throw out some names here. So the first guy was Chandler Dorsey, a relief pitcher from South Florida, USF. He was, mostly their closer, had eight saves, 3.6 ERA with 41 strikeouts. So pretty solid, I guess, projects as a bullpen arm. And then the first big one was on the offensive side, Luis Hernandez, who was a sophomore for Indiana State, the Sycamores of Larry Bird fame, but they got a pretty good baseball team too. And he had a big year last year, or really his career. He's hit 32 home runs, 120 RBIs, batting 315. So he's kind of right up Jay Johnson's alley. He could play first base or catcher or DH, kind of that power position, which is what we mentioned last week, or I guess 2 weeks ago on the pod, with all our home run production leaving. So that's a really big pickup, and he'll be in a starting spot somewhere in the lineup, I would assume, immediately. Let's see. And then a guy against a recent opponent, Zach Cowan, the number one pitcher for Wofford, who we played in the regional. Although we did not face him, he pitched in the game against Long Island. But yeah, he had a great year, 10-2. 124 strikeouts, only 29 walks in 110 innings. So definitely we can start a material if he can handle it against SEC level competition, which is another thing we called out as far as like these mid-major guys stepping up.
Yeah. Well, quick sidebar. I think we thought we were going to face him because like you said, he was our best pitcher, but something happened and we ended up playing him the second game. I forget what it was though, but anyway,
Yeah, I think it was because they were coming off short rest on the conference tournament or something and kind of messed up the schedule. Yeah. So we didn't face him, but he did get the win in the game that he did pitch in the regional. Tommy, do you want to, or Scott, you want to take over the last few games?
I think one of the ones that I'm interested in, that relief pitching is something that I talked about, at the end of the season, really being a tough, a real tough spot for us. And with the loss of guys like Cam Johnson or Bucknum, Aiden Moffitt, Sam Dutton. We lost a lot of relief pitching. I'd be looking at Connor Ware, who's coming out of a community college, and then before that is from Germantown High School, which is a real high end baseball high school in the Memphis area. The same thing with Daniel Hart, or not Daniel, with who's the other guy? Chandler Dorsey. I think you mentioned him, Dave. Is that right?
There was a couple more commitments. This one guy, Devin Sheeran, who was a true freshman for
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, Mount St. Mary's, which Jay Johnson had to dig in the portal, although in some rankings he was like top five overall transfer availability. As a true freshman, he threw 70 innings, starting pitcher, 109 strikeouts, 32 walks. So definitely a power arm with a fastball, apparently up to 98. So I don't know if he's a immediate weekend starter, but definitely gives us depth there, along with the last guy, who Luke Hayden, a starting pitcher from Indiana State, same school as Luis Hernandez. So we double dipped there. Yeah. And he was another starting pitcher, although he is a draft risk. He's draft eligible, and he may get picked high enough to go pro, as he had 91 strikeouts and 78 innings. So he could be a starter or a relief pitcher there. So plenty of options and building out that bullpen.
Yeah, I think Luke Hayden would also be a draft risk too. But, I mean, if he came to LSU and gave it that one more year, who knows? You know, I think Paul Skeen showed that all you need is one good year. I mean, he was already doing great at Air Force, but one good year on the right team can result into a championship. And as far as Devin Sheeran, that's who I was going to mention. I mean, the guy's 6'5", 245. He could definitely have some, you know, like some Skeens type, I don't know, just stature. But the guy, yeah, he was a freshman All-American in a couple organizations. And he was All-MAC, the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference. He won their conference title game. So I think he's really something. We're losing arms, so it's good to replace him. And other than that, yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's any more to go, but I think we have a pretty good solid core of guys coming back also. Cause I mean, these guys like Milam, Pearson, Brown, Larson, that's a pretty solid guy, a pretty solid group of guys, I think, just as far as what they were doing as freshmen. Then we got the arms. I'm not too worried about it.
Mm. I wouldn't be surprised if Jay Johnson tries to get one more bat from the portal, considering we've only picked up one so far. And then we do have a lot of production leaving with Tommy White, Jared Jones, probably Hayden Travinsky, Michael Braswell. So
Milazzo and Travinsky are gone.
Mm-hmm.
What about that guy from South Carolina, Petrie? Did he land anywhere already? Because if so, I mean, that would be a major get. I mean, having Luis Hernandez would be great. I mean, the name itself, I think he played, I mean, there's a name before him. I played for the Diamondbacks, I think. I, you know, won a World Series with him.
Yeah, Petrie hasn't committed anywhere yet, and he's okay. Yeah, still South Carolina as far as we know. But, yeah, he's been a big power hitter for them for the last 2 years, so that could continue. And then, although he may not want to go to LSU, or there may be someone deterring him who's now installed at South Carolina baseball.
Wait, what are you talking about? Are you saying there's some major news since we last recorded? What happened? Did somebody take over? That's right, they fired their coach. Oh, my God, it was Paul Maneri. Paul Maneri was hired at South Carolina. What is going on? I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's what some people want us to think, but I'm not, you know, good for him. Good for them. Good for him. Great for us. I mean, I don't think there's any ill will towards Maneri. It was, you know, business, right? Who cares?
Yeah. I mean, since leaving LSU, you know, he'd been kind of, you'd see him around town in Baton Rouge. He'd been,
he's at the box.
He hit the box a lot, but he'd also kind of on a side thing had been as a coaching consultant for Baton Rouge Community College. Like he wasn't their head coach of baseball, but he had kind of like, you know, helped out with the program and kind of tried. I want to say he helped start. They didn't have a team, and he'd helped start, you know, start off the program. So he was definitely not, you know, completely retired, and obviously had some interest in doing some, you know, a little bit more coaching. I think it's a little bit of a weird hire. I don't know if it makes a ton of sense just with the you know, state of baseball right now. I mean, he's never dealt with the portal and like NIL and everything like that in the way that it is now, but I wish him the best. I'm sure they're paying him buku money. I mean, I don't think you go all the way out of retirement like that to, for nothing. So good for Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little unexpected. I mean, there have been rumors that he was trying to get back in the game for a little while, but South Carolina wasn't really the one that jumped to mind. He had been kind of tied to Miami, I think, a little bit. Yeah. But that didn't work out. And yeah, he's 67 years old right now, which, I mean, baseball coaches can coach well into their older age, but so he's definitely going to be in win now mode. I think in his press conference, he said he doesn't have a 5-year or 3-year plan. He says he has a 1-year plan, and that's to win this year. So I guess that's interesting, and I hope that works out for Paul. But I don't know if they're on the schedule next year or not, but that would be a fun one to battle against our old leader.
Yeah, it would be. I'm sure we will face him, just you know, the sheer nature of things in the SEC, but I'm not really bothered by it. Good for him. I wish him well against, unless, you know, it's against us, even if it's like, you know, winning some game and it messes us up in the SEC standings. Of course I want them to lose, but otherwise, good luck to the guy. And yeah, I mean, if he's got some years left in him and South Carolina wants to give them to him, fine. Maybe they're just looking for a quick placeholder themselves, because maybe there wasn't like a really, you know, better viable option that was like, oh my God, yes. Maybe some, you know, I don't know. I think there's a lot of teams remaining in the College World Series that, you know, maybe a SEC job would be better, but you know, they're sticking with who they have now. I don't know. Speaking of the College World Series, I'd say it's still looking pretty good, even though LSU's not in it. We had 4 games so far, another one coming, but 3 starting walk-offs. So that's awesome to see. 4 SEC teams, 4 ACC teams, both of them beating each other up. I don't know. I'd say, I mean, we're not surprised. You know, Honeycutt kind of cut into our winnings a little bit there. I'm not surprised to see that. I guess I'm surprised to see 3 straight walk-offs, because I don't know. I guess that, to me, that would say everything's kind of fairly matched, which is great. You know, best teams are playing.
Mm-hmm. In the World Series, it seems that the cream kind of did rise to the top, with the top 4 overall national seeds are the 4 teams in the winner's bracket right now. So they've been kind of running the table, including North Carolina, the team that bounced us. So it always is a little bit good whenever you get knocked out by somebody and they continue to win, maybe shines a bit of a better light on your own performance. But Tennessee, yeah, rocking, and A&M and Kentucky playing well as well. So it's really anybody's game. It's not like there's one team that's absolutely mowing everybody down. But yeah, I will be hopefully tuning into some of the later games, especially the finals, to see whoever takes it. And hopefully it's an SEC team, but all 8 are pretty solid.
I don't know if y'all got to watch that Tennessee-Florida State game. That was a great game.
Yes, I did. And they want to complain about the check swing or whatever, but there were so many errors in that game. That's there were so many runs. Like, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, it almost felt like, I feel like we had the same issue with that, with a left fielder bobbling, that left fielder for Florida State bobbled the ball. Yeah.
Their first run.
Uh-huh. Well, no, yes, that one. And then also like towards the end, I think it was Christian Moore?
Yeah.
Their big slugger for Tennessee.
Yeah.
He hit like a line shot to left field and would have scored 1, but maybe ended up scoring 2 because the left fielder kind of bobbled it on the ground and didn't
get
it quick enough.
I mean, and it was his day too. I mean, the guy hit for the cycle.
I think he was like the first ever player to hit for the cycle in College World Series.
Second.
Okay.
Yeah. But still, that's remarkable task. I guess congrats to him, although Tennessee fans make me not want to pull for them. Same with A&M fans. Just guys that didn't, you can tell they hadn't really been there before. Kentucky, I'm cool with them. Kentucky, you know, did their thing. They came back. They play really good small ball, you know, good pitching, and they walked it off too. It's their first everything. First World Series, you know, strike from the first inning, first World Series out, hit everything. And they started out with a win, walked it off. Can't imagine how that feels like, as you know, if you were part of the Blue Nation. But congrats to them. You know, I think they're kind of who the ones I would hope would win at this point, just because it'd be a great Cinderella story. But yeah, A&M, man, geez, they they won. It was kind of a boring 3-2 against Florida, but it had some weird, ugly scene at the end with A&M fans yelling at Kevin O'Sullivan. I don't even want to get too far into it because it is Father's Day, and it's a bit of a weird story what they're talking about. But interestingly enough, like the Omaha Police Union, like the the fraternal order or whatever, they just said, you know, they took care of that situation, got him out of there, and they said, you're no longer welcome in Omaha. Hopefully you're not even allowed in the College World Series. I'm like, that's pretty serious. I've never heard of anything like that before. Again, I don't want to go too far into the story because it's weird, but look it up on your own, folks. But I don't know. Good for them. Yeah, just act like you've been there before. Just because you won a game doesn't mean your fans get to be, you know, total D-bags. So
yeah,
that's all I'll say.
Speaking of Kevin O'Sullivan, this is totally off subject, but did you see the kind of, I mean, it wasn't really controversy, but people making fun of it. Okay, you know, like we, like everybody had, like all the teams have their own like Omaha themed like slogan.
So, Go Omaha
for us. Omaha Hawks.
Yep.
Right now we have Nolmaha.
Nolmahal, right?
Yep.
Right.
And then is it Volmahal?
Oh, geez, they're horrible.
That one's kind of bad. I mean, they should just do Omaha because it's like Peyton Manning, but whatever.
Omaha. I saw a joke on that about in like social media.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. And he was there.
But the worst one. Have you seen what Florida did?
No.
It's just Omaha. With an apostrophe by the O, and nobody I had no idea what they were talking about. I was like, why? Like, who is this team? What are they doing?
Because they're just not trying. They're just saying Omaha.
Turns out it's because it's O'Sullivan, mm-hmm. like their coach. Like they're just putting the apostrophe because like he has.
Oh,
apostrophe.
I got you. Okay, Omaha, O'Sullivan. Oh, Jesus,
that's pretty dumb.
Yeah, it's yeah. If you have to explain it, no.
One minor note of relate to LSU is that people were watching to see if Tennessee could make a run at LSU's all-time single-season home runs record, 188 from 1997, back in the peak of Gorilla Ball. And Tennessee is sitting at 175 right now, so 13 off.
Oh, wow.
Potentially have four games left to play if they go – maybe five games if they go all the way to the end. So it's not inconceivable, especially because they scored 11 in their first game, which would be kind of crazy because I think people thought that was like almost an untouchable record with the BB Corps bats. And now they've got some pop back in them a little bit. So they might need to check the barrels on those. But that would be sad if we lost the record. But I think it'll be safe.
I know, especially with somebody like Tennessee that still probably won't even win a title. I don't know. I think they're just going to rocky flop, you know. I don't know. I feel like I still don't know who could. I don't know. I feel pretty good about Carolina. You know, if I was a betting man, I'd feel pretty good about them. Tennessee came back from, you know, way behind, actually. I think they were down 9-4 at one point. So, good, you know, that shows some resiliency. I don't want them to touch that record for the love of everything holy, but I don't know. Four games to hit, what, another 14 diggers.
Off, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they could do that, but I don't want to. It's too late. I already said.
Especially because the stadium in Omaha is pretty big, and it's known for kind of low scoring games, which we've seen already. Hard to hit.
They moved it. I'm pretty sure they made it bigger too from when LSU played during the Gorilla Ball years. Like the old Rosenblatt.
It's a different stadium.
Yeah, I know. Like when they built the new one, I think it's bigger on purpose.
Right. We made him change the rules once again.
It happens.
Right. I don't know. What else, brothers? I don't know. I think we covered just about everything. I mean,
that's all the baseball stuff. There was a little of a rumor that Texas might be interested in Jay Johnson as their head baseball coach.
But,
Jay was declining on that one, at least in a statement, but that's what he'll say, but I don't think it's going to happen.
You know, what was interesting about that is they asked him about it and Jay Johnson said, you know what? I haven't been contacted. And immediately I thought, all right, that makes sense. All right. So it's a rumor, but then apparently in Jay Johnson's contract, they have to reach out to Scott Woodward first. if there was any talk about that. So, yeah, it's possible he wouldn't have been contracted or contacted. You know, they would have called Scott Woodward and he just said, nope, click. And they're like, hello, Scott. Hello.
Are you with me, Scott?
Yeah. And then that's it. And then, so, yeah, maybe he hasn't been contacted, but it doesn't mean that they didn't reach out. So, I don't know. But I don't see why would Jay leave LSU, which is a program he admires, to go to Texas, which, you know, I mean, they have some history, but it was a long time ago. And get money? I don't know. And,
I mean, I feel like the last time Texas was in a really significant, baseball position, LSU was beating them in 2009, right? With Augie Garrido.
For a title.
Yeah, for a title. So, I agree. I don't think he's going anywhere. But if you're at this level, when you're at this level, coaches, they're always going to come after you. You know what I mean? Like they're like top programs are, they're always going to be coming after and want to just make an offer. It's just like with Les Miles, like, oh, is he going to go to Michigan or Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss? You know, oh, is he looking at Alabama job when Nick Saban retires, that kind of thing. So shows that he's still in demand. I don't think he'll leave, but I hope, you never know.
Mm-hmm. True. I had a flip side story to that, what you just said. Did you hear about the Ohio State head coach for baseball?
No, I don't think I did.
Okay, so apparently Ohio State does have a baseball team. A lot of teams in the Big Ten also do. We just don't really hear about it. I mean, I guess like maybe Indiana. But anyway, Ohio State's baseball coach used to coach at TCU in some capacity. I think maybe he's a head coach, but anyway, he is now leaving Ohio State to go be an assistant back at TCU. So it's so bad that they're just willing to demote themselves from Ohio State baseball to go down back to TCU. I thought that was interesting. Just, you know,
that's not even like, you know, like the big story in football last year or during the end of the season last year was, Kelly is going to, he's going to leave UCLA. Chip Kelly's going to leave UCLA and go be the offensive coordinator. Look at that, him taking a step down. But I think that taking an assistant job in baseball is way more of a step down from a head coach than being an offensive coordinator is. Right. So
it was just funny. I thought that was interesting. Cause yeah, you don't really hear much. Like we've heard more about Indiana State baseball than we have like Indiana. Obviously cause we got probably a couple of their guys, but I remember, I think it was last year they were in the tournament, but they couldn't host a regional or they couldn't host a super regional because they didn't bid for it. And everyone thought it was some scandal cause they couldn't host their own super regional. Was like, well, no, they didn't bid for it. They had some other event that's always been going on in their town. I don't remember what it is. Let's just say it was like,
you know, a festival.
Yeah. Like I'd say a Renaissance festival or like, you know, mud bogging or something. There was something else going on and they couldn't hold all these people that would come in town for the tournament. So anyway, welcome to those Sycamores. You know, we're going to get you.
Don't worry, new players. If we have the opportunity, we will bid for the super regional.
Yeah. Automatic. Anyway, I think that was about all we had. I mean, it's not really any football news yet. I mean, you know, these guys are working out. They're doing their weekly pass out workout awards thing. But other than that, no news in football. But
I will say that Daniel, I'm sure you've seen this too. The rumors are that DeCorian Moore might be coming back into focus for LSU.
Oh, it was all ruse?
He evidently had a pretty good visit.
Yeah, he had an official visit, and he said that I think he said LSU was back in the picture or something that.
So that's kind of good.
I would hope they're in the picture. If you were committed there for 6 months, but.
I don't know.
You know how these players, they love to hype it up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, they're saying LSU's back in the picture now because now he's going to be like, hey, Texas or hey, Oregon, like I need a little more juice on the table here. or I'm going back to LSU. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
thought it was important just to highlight that our friend DeCorian might be back.
Oh yeah. And then speaking of recruits in that class, my old friend who I know dearly from the airport, Bryce Underwood, he had a statement on LSU, what his expectations were. And he said 2019 on steroids, multiple Heismans,
in the same year.
Oh yeah. He said 2019 on steroids, couple natties, multiple Heismans. So he's definitely got the confidence and I hope he can bring all that to LSU. That'd be quite a haul.
Multiple Heismans.
if the team got two in a span of like 3 or 4 years, there's no lie.
Well, I mean, we kind of did though.
Well, that was then. He's talking about once he gets here, like once this class takes over.
Yeah, he's trying to do the Archie Griffin and two-time Heisman winner.
I thought he just meant like one of us is going to win a Heisman. Give us 3 years. We're going to get 2, 3, 4, who knows, which is great. But yeah, more to come on that. Anything else, guys? Because I feel like we've kind of hit everything.
I think that's a wrap.
Yeah, just a little quick summer pod.
All right. That'll be it. We'll tune in next week. Two weeks from now, we're on the summer schedule. We will have some more College World Series. We'll probably have all of it because it will be wrapped up by then. We can deliver to you who would be the College World Series champion and who LSU is going to beat next year to reclaim the title. But definitely tune in next week. We'll have some more stuff for you. Until then, stay safe, stay tuned, and we'll talk to you next time on Talking Tunes.